Once, there was a great alliance of the gods Umbali, Talos, Malar, and Oryl, the Frost Maiden. This alliance brought great suffering to the world, especially upon those who did not pay the proper respects to these gods. However, over time, Umbali, the Queen of the Churning Depths, grew irritated with Oryl, the goddess of winter's cruelty. She hated how her beautiful, chaotic churning seas become frozen and stable under sheets of ice during Oryl's winters. So Umbali conspired and plotted, and managed to turn the other gods onto Oryl. She forced Oryl into exile, taking from her not just her godly power, but the very faith she needed to even exist. For faith is everything to the gods. However, if even a little faith still exists, a god can never truly die. And none can deny how cruel a long winter can be. This is Red Moon Roleplaying. The wind is harsh and cold tonight as it blows over the town of East Haven, located in Icewind Dale. Icewind Dale is the cold north, the area just behind the Spine of the World Mountains. To the east, the Rhyged Glacier cuts everything off. There is very little beyond there. And even further to the north, the Sea of Moving Ice. Not entirely impenetrable, but very treacherous to most boats. Not many people sail through those waters if they don't have to. But in the middle, roughly, Icewind Dale, the home of the 10 towns, so called because they are literally 10 little towns, a little pocket of civilization in a place that is otherwise largely wilderness, only roamed again by the Rhyged tribes, who settled here a little bit before the people of the 10 towns did. The night is cold and harsh, but there is a glowing light in front of the town hall of East Haven tonight. Dozens of the residents are basking around a burning pyre. It is hard to tell them apart at first, for everyone is covered head to foot in winter wear, thick cloaks, thick hoods, snow goggles or snow masks. The furs they wear are brown, white, and grey, but it is difficult from a distance to tell anyone apart, really. Huddled figures surrounding a warm, burning pyre. Of course, this is no ordinary burning pyre. A man has been burned to death. He doesn't make any sound as he dies, and at this point, his silhouette is already starting to fade into the flames, although a little bit of his cloak and his long, large wizard's hat still can be seen. Gathered around the flames are the people of East Haven. They do not watch out of any joy, but they watch out of a sense of satisfaction, and the fire is warm. In front of the burning pyre is a figure who again looks much like the others, although there are elements on their person of weaponry. This is Captain Imdra Arlogaf, the leader of the militia of East Haven. She is proclaiming, "And let this be a beacon to all, that in these times, people who harm East Haven and who dare breach our safety will not be permitted mercy. They will burn. And we together will come together to face them." And the crowd murmurs in appreciation, some people raising their voices in agreement. No one will harm the people of East Haven, especially during this time. this time of the everlasting rhyme, an eternal winter that has fallen upon the lands of Icewind Dale. Among the crowd, we see a figure, clad head to toe in brown winter wear. But underneath, who is he?
Well, before he was a man in his mid-40s, salt and pepper hair and brown kind eyes. He's wearing a grey cloak on top of his brown winter wear, and he has a strange look of peace on his face, in spite of everything that's going on here. Around his neck hangs the holy symbol of Lathander, the rising morning sun, a dawnbringer, still and forever devoted to holy Lathander, the morning lord. Dawnbringer Roman. He had fallen in the eyes of his lord during his time within the Dread Realms. The choices he made there to defeat the devil were efficient, but not of pure heart. Not becoming of a Dawnbringer. Compromise and pragmatism is not the way of the Morning Lord. He was sent here to atone for his sins. To the spine of the world. To East Haven. And he went there, gladly. And he has helped the needy, protected the weak. He's put his life on the line to protect those who face persecution. It has been noticed. And he has regained some of the powers his god had granted him. Although not all. He's still being tested. Part of him thinks he always will be. But he finds solace in knowing that he truly has found a new start here. His family, his son and wife. They're at rest now, in his mind as well. No demons of the past to haunt him anymore. Life can begin anew. Perhaps even love, I think to myself, and the visage of Kalyana flashes before my eyes. She's so beautiful. And then I come back to reality, and my attention turns back to the burning man. And this awful display of cruelty and barbarity. I have raised my voice in the past to some of the things that are happening here, but, well, I have found that my place is in healing and in taking care of those who need my powers. The decisions are made by others. I will just try to help as many as I can for as long as I can. But there's value in that too. And somehow I'm still happy. I have hope.
The flames flicker. Already, the event is over. The people did not come here to jeer and celebrate. This was a solemn affair, really. And already many are beginning to return home. It is, after all, so very cold. No one likes to stay out longer than they need to these days, especially at night. Still, a few people are lingering around. Someone nudges you. A figure. You turn. You squint, but you, Roman, have become a little used to the way things work here. Even though to a stranger, these faces covered in masks and goggles are hard to tell. You think you know who this one is? There's also a little tail coming out from behind that gives you a clue. A tiefling. Siphon. The owner of the East Haven Ferry that normally sends out boats along the Great Lac Dinnershire. The Great Lake East Haven is on, that also connects to the nearby towns of Caer Dinvel and Caer Conic. Not in use much of late, as most of the lake has frozen over. Ooh, good to see you, Roman. You're doing all right on this night?
Scython, it's damn cold, isn't it? Well, it's over now. Can't say I really understand why that had to happen, but, well, it is done now.
Well, I know it did seem a little harsh, didn't it? But remember, we're pretty sure that that wizard, he killed all five of them, or at least left them to die somewhere. He pretty much... the captain says he pretty much admitted to it.
pretty much.
Well, I heard rumor he was also a Red Wizard of Fae, and you know what they say about that lot?
Yeah, I've heard the tales. Well, let's not linger on that, I guess. Is there anything I can do for you? I mean...
Well, I just was wondering what you were thinking. Like, do you think maybe that this event, that this will count for the sacrifice for the month?
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it? I can't just stand by and let this continue to happen for much longer. So many good people are being lost. So many lives. It's not right. It's not the way of the gods. Certainly not Lathander, but then again, he isn't really so present here, is he?
The individual slumps a little. They want to say something a little more cheerful, but they can't. They simply say, I know it would be nice, but you know how it is, Roman. We can't be going against all the towns. It's the one unity we still have left. That when they all meet at the Great Conclave in Bryn Shander, the speakers will do what they agree to, and everyone is doing their part. Everyone has to give something.
I suppose you're right. It's not a perfect world, but we have to live in it. And we can still do some good. We still help people.
I just really hope it stops soon. I'm not entirely sure I'll be able to make a living anymore if my boat can never sail again. He looks up at the sky. The sky, already shimmering a little. In a few more hours, midnight, the sky will alight with a beautiful aura. At least it would be beautiful to an outsider. To you, Roman, of course, it has become a very plain sight. It has happened every single night for the last 2 years at exactly the same time. The locals say that is the magic of the everlasting rhyme. The everlasting rhyme. That's what the locals have been calling the phenomena. For 2 years now, Icewind Dale has not seen a sunrise. The winter has been everlasting. This phenomena, however, oddly enough, is not worldwide. Those who can travel beyond the spine of the world and to the places like Baldur's Gate, Luskan, the Sword Coast, the sun rises as it does every day. It is less that the sun is not rising and more that something is blocking it out. The locals, of course, believe they know exactly who is doing this. It has to be the work of the gods. The work of Oryl, the Frost Maiden. They say she has been angered greatly, and this is her wrath, but no one knows why this is happening. The sacrifices have only been going for a year now. They are the acts of desperation, the acts of offering to a god, trying to appease them, anything so that the winter can end, because, Roman, you know, that if it does not end soon, there will not be a Ten Towns anymore. How have you felt during this time?
It's strange. I should be hopeless. I should be panicked. I should want to leave. But there is something comforting about being in this situation and just doing whatever I can to make things better for the other people who are sharing my fate. We're all sinking on this ship together, but at least we are together. And you have to find whatever joy you can in that. And it's not as if it's dreary and dark all the time. There are still joys, there's still laughter. Not as much as before, but still. And you just have to try and take the good with the bad. I still have hope. And we will get through this, but I don't think that this is the path. I pray for Lathander to take pity on us. And to come here and to solve this. And to bring back the light. I know of his awesome power. He just needs to be convinced.
You look around and see vestiges of people heading home. East Haven would be picturesque in a different situation. It largely consists of large wooden houses large thatched roofs, all bunched together quite tightly. There is a wall around East Haven, quite a rarity in these parts, but it is one of the free towns that has a wall, built in the earlier days, where there were still the occasional conflicts not only with the local wildlife and other hazardous beings, but also the Rhiged tribes. Things were not always peaceful. In some ways, they still aren't. But two old ballista still can be seen in the twilight. They've not been used for years, but the captain told you once that she's pretty sure they still work. You do notice that there is someone actually coming up to the captain. Your eyes are drawn quite quickly to them because they look a little unusual. They are wearing a cloak, but their winter clothing is a little light. You can actually see some of the form underneath. A tail? Could that be another tiefling? You don't know of any other tiefling in East Haven of late. They have perched on their shoulder a black raven, and they are holding a staff. You are initially a little concerned. The last individual who looked like a spellcaster who came here did not make the townsfolk like them very much. But this one is talking to the captain, and they are having some sort of conversation, and the captain is motioning to a few of the militia, and they are going somewhere. But your attention is then immediately diverted away from this by another person. This one is a little easier to tell, apart from the others, because they are rather small. So you can tell that it is very likely Rinaldo the Bard, who frequents the White Lady Inn. He's tugging on your robe. What do you do?
I turn to him. And I know his name, yes?
You do.
Yes. Rinaldo. How fare you?
I fare well, Roman. Hello, how are you doing tonight? Are you good? It's a good night, isn't it? Well, a little cold, actually, but not so bad, eh? Enjoying the burning. I'm sure there's a song in there somewhere.
I'm sure you will find it. You always have one. It's you bring a lot of joy to this place, Rinaldo. I just wanted you to know that. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you. I'm not really into seeing songs about people being burnt, but I don't know, maybe we could make a little thing of it. Anyway, I wanted to get your attention, because I know you're not normally out this late, but I really think it would be a good time now to go and look out at the lake. Remember what I've been telling you about?
Not the White Lady?
Well, yes, not just that, the mists.
Yes, for two nights now, he's been quite adamant that a strange mist has been seen on the lake, and he really wanted you to see it. You are, after all, a priest of Lefander. You've been a bit busy, though. But you suddenly find yourself outside at this time of night with him there.
Well, I don't have anything else going on right now. Why not? It sounds very interesting.
Wonderful. Yes. Now, you see, I'm really quite concerned. It could be something quite mysterious. After all, there shouldn't be mists out on the lake. And with the sightings of the White Lady, I swear I've seen her. I know you don't believe me. But I tell you, it's true.
I have seen a great many things. And while I may be a little bit skeptical to jump to, well, hasty conclusions, I could totally see a White Lady being a thing. So let's go look at this mist. And I am immediately sort of shuddering with bad memories of that time when the mist took us, when it took us to Barovia and everything that led to. But then I think that wasn't so bad after all. It changed me for the better. Yeah, I have no fear. No, this is fun, an adventure, I think to myself, and I join Rinaldo.
Rinaldo begins walking along quite excitedly, leading you eastward to the shores of the lake. But you do notice, as you're heading that way, that it does seem as if the captain and this stranger and quite a few militia are heading westward. But again, that's not for you at the moment, it seems.
I wonder where they're going. Do you know?
I don't know. It looks like there's a... Oh, gosh. That's a stranger. Oh dear, oh, I hope they don't get in trouble with the captain. She's not going to be very happy with strangers lately. I mean, considering, well, the last one.
We don't need any more burnings, do we?
Well, I mean, hopefully not, hopefully not. But, you know, I understand the position she's in. You know, there have been talk people, you know, thinking, what would happen if we just raided the storehouses and took all the food to Bryn Shander, or, you know, tried to get on the next, you know, sled out to the spine of the world? I mean, it's been, how long's it been since the last one? 2 months, 3 months since a caravan came?
It has been too long, that is true.
Well, I'm hopefully it's all good news. Anyway, let's head this way.
Yes, let's.
Darkness. Confusion. You don't know if you are up or down, left or right. Your last memory. What was it? You remember a throne. You remember the ground. Someone was above you with a weapon ready to strike. In that moment, it seemed like it finally was over. But it's not. You are here in the dark. How do you feel as you look at yourself in this place? What is going through your mind, Roshek?
Bazrog. Talon. Rahadin. Where are you? I look around me for any of the familiar faces of the dead that have been haunting me all this time. My wife? My servants? All my subjects? Where is everybody? I was right there. I was governing. I was ruling my kingdom. And then they came. They thought that they could stand up to me. They thought that they could claim my throne. And they were so close. They were going to do it. Where am I? Did they get me? Am I dead? I...
It's hard to tell. Everything is confusing, blurred. There were people, weren't there? There were servants. But then there was also a horse. Wasn't there a caravan? Didn't you commit a deed? Wasn't there another life before that one? Swamps. A place. In the dark, you can just about see yourself. How do you look when you look at yourself?
It's a hazy reflection. I remember that old me. I remember the long hair. It's nothing like that now. It's all tidy. I've had servants attending to me, giving me daily shaves. My hair is short and tidy. It's been graying. There's a paranoia, a distance in my eyes. This haunting feeling of ruling a crumbling kingdom. I look down at my coat sleeves, my fine vestige, best silks, they crumple now. My hands feel weak. I've been ill for so long, I've been bedridden. To be able to carry out the simplest task has proved a mountain, that I actually was able to make my way up to the throne on that day. That in itself was something. I feel weak. I feel like I've forgotten so much of what it used to mean to be. What was I before? A warrior? Yes, I was a great warrior.
Finally, you feel ground. You are standing on something very, very cold. You are shivering. It is so cold, so suddenly.
Where am I? Where is everybody? The sword. Where's the sword?
You don't know. It's not there anymore. And the voices, they're so far away. They've never been this far away. Except one. One voice is then clear in your ear. It's a voice you've not heard that often, or have you heard it often? You can't remember. It's strange. There's an ethereal whimsy to the voice, and at the same time a piercing chill, as if the voice itself strikes deep into your heart. Well, finally we are here, my little Roshek.
Where am I? Where have you taken me?
What does that matter?
I was a king. I was a ruler.
A king. Oh, yes. You were king of the maggot pile. King of the worms. A king. No. You were no king, little Roshek. But it is amusing that you think you were. But that doesn't matter now. What matters now is time for our deal. You have not forgotten our deal, have you, little Roshek?
My eyes flicker about in the darkness. It's cold, I feel nervous. Someone's talking to me, someone's watching me. It's the voices again. You let me live. You let me live.
I did. It is by my grace and my benevolence. Benevolence, yes, that you remain. They are bored of you now. But I am not. Although my mind may change. Are you going to make me change my mind, Roshek? Am I going to be bored of you now?
No. No. What do you want? Where have you brought me?
I do not need to explain myself to the little worm. How dare you ask me that? The voice has this sheen. It feels like it's stabbing even deeper into your heart.
Yes. I feel confused. I feel weak. I feel in the hands of something else.
How will you beg me for forgiveness? How will you prostrate before your queen? Hurry up. I'm waiting. I'm getting impatient.
It wasn't me. I didn't try to run. I was walking through the swamps. I was trying to find my way. Why I was there? It was not away from you. It was forward to something.
None of that matters. No. No, you are going to need to do better than that. Prove that you are worthy of your queen's time. Prove that you are not dull. And then, maybe then, I will be kind to my little Roshek. And you feel a slap in the face from something, and you are face down in the cold, on ice. And the wind is cold and harsh. But you can see, is there something on the horizon? Lights? Town, and you are surrounded by mist, but you are on ice. What do you do, Roshek?
I feel the harshness, the cold, and I feel the ice trying to grab hold of my hands as I lie down, and I scuffle up, and I feel that my hands almost getting stuck to the ice from the cold. I have to call upon something to warm it up. I feel a slight sting in my hand as it loosens its grip from the ice. That was something that I still have, at least. One of the things that I used to rule my kingdom. My kingdom. And I look around. I squint in the darkness. I notice how my arms are wrapped around myself to try and ward off the cold. What is that in the horizon? I start moving towards it.
Roman, you have begun to venture out, ever so slightly, onto the lake. You, of course, know not to go too far, because even though the ice is extremely thick, it still sometimes, if you go out a little too far, can break. And, well, not many would survive being plunged into freezing temperatures like that without help. But Ronaldo, with his little lantern, has been sort of shining it around, going, You see, I, any moment now, I'm sure. See, over there, the mist, can you see that sort of mist on the horizon? That's not normal, is it?
Is it?
No, not at all. The lake normally can be seen for quite a distance. Blizzards, certainly, come and go, but this is a clear night for a change. A mist like this, a fog on the lake, is very unusual.
No, you're right. Things are not as they should be. Something's afoot.
And then you see it. The fog seems to be lifting. So suddenly. Almost in a few seconds, it's gone. But you think you can see a figure out on the ice.
Do you see? I say to Ronaldo.
Yes, but that's not a ghost. Oh my goodness, that's someone! Hello! Ronaldo begins running off quite quickly.
Ronaldo, wait, let's move slowly, all right? We don't know if that ice will hold. I loosen my mace, and I begin moving after him, hoping that he will follow what I told him and slow down a bit.
He does slow down a little. He is not completely unaware of the danger. And of course, like you, he has snowshoes on and is equipped for this weather. And you start heading towards the individual, but goodness me, Ronaldo's right. This isn't a ghost. It's a person. They look like they're maybe wearing a ragged cloak of some kind, but that is not enough. You can see them collapsing to the ground quite quickly and starting to shiver in this weather. They need to be out of this weather right away, Roman.
We need to help them. And come on. And I begin moving up, but I'm still wary. Whatever has brought them here, I don't know. I have a bad feeling about all this. A real bad feeling, a really familiar feeling.
Roshek, it's hard to see now. This is not the void anymore, though this is almost, you remember this, cold. This is just normal. Terrifying cold. You are not in some strange void anymore. This is just dying of cold. You need warmth. You need clothing. You don't have it. What are you going to do? You see two people coming to you, but breathing is becoming very difficult.
You see the 7 foot tall figure slumping. He's walking with a slightly familiar hunch, even if you only see the outlines. Help! Help!
Yes, hello! 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 Ronaldo gets up to him, Roman, and immediately starts putting the lantern down on the ground and being like, oh my goodness, hello! Hello, what are you doing out here, you silly sausage? Look at you, it's freezing cold! Where's your cloak? Where's your cloaks? Goodness me!
Take me inside. I need warmth. Oh,
of course, Roman. We need to get him inside quickly. We need to take him to the shrine. He laughs a little because even though everyone calls it a shrine, it's really no more than just a large house.
I hear the name Roman. That rings a bell somewhere, but it couldn't be. I accept the help from this figure, whatever he can, from my slightly large frame.
And I'm also helping. I'm not sure if I there's something. But anyway, they need help. Come on, let's get into town.
At this point, Roman, you suddenly feel a shift in the air. A change in the temperature, already cold, suddenly becomes a little colder. Could you please roll me a perception check, both of you?
17.
9.
Roshek, of course, you are far too out of it. This little being, it's been a while. He may be a gnome, or a halfling, or a dwarf. You can't tell underneath the clothing. But he is trying to give you a little scarf. He's taking off his own and quickly wrapping it around your neck. It's at least something. But Roman, you turn, and you see something coming towards you. A strange, ethereal woman floating on the ground, or rather the lake. After all, you are now out on the lake, frozen over, but still on the water now. The figure is coming towards you, hair ragged in the wind, clothing tattered and grey. What do you do?
Come on, we have to hurry. Oh, no. We really don't need local myths coming alive now. Come on, Rinaldo, quickly.
Can everyone please roll initiative?
13.
22.
Rinaldo looks behind you, Roman, and you can just see their expression, just about now that they've taken off their face mask, is one of, oh my goodness! And Roshek, you just look, and you see this strange ethereal being rapidly descending upon you, but they are not running, for they are floating, their body limp in the air, just floating towards you. It's almost a beautiful sight, until you see the head begin to turn up of the figure, and the face, rotting, dead, a dead skeletal face, beginning to open its mouth to shriek at you as it descends upon you. What do you do? It is your turn.
I have grown so used to the constant assassination attempts, be it by magic, force, or stealth, that my twitching eyes always these days seem to be on the lookout for anything that comes. And there it is again. Something I've never seen before. But something is out to get me. I fumble with my hands. There's nothing in them. There's no sword. There's nothing. I try to fill them with something. That energy that I've used to try and ward them off. And I try to call forth an eldritch blast.
Roll your attack.
In my left hand, suddenly there's a shimmer of flame and sparkling red lightning. As in my right one, I roll 11 and 21.
The energy hits this creature, the woman, whatever it is, shrieks a hideous wind-like wail on the wind as you deal damage. Please roll.
It's a 9 and a 5. And I bellow out, "Die, assassins! Stay away from me!" And you, Roman, at this point would definitely recognize this voice.
Roman, the individual you didn't think it could be, but maybe it is, suddenly fires this beam of eldritch light. Sorcery. And not the sort of sorcery you use, but from a different place. But it strikes the creature. Of course it would. Magic. Magic works in this scenario. What do you do, though? The being is still descending forwards.
This is not possible, but I look towards the white lady, and I say, no, dear lady, you will not devour us, not this night. And I hold up my holy symbol of Lathander, the morning sun, and I turn undead, I activate it, and I yell for her to get back, to leave us, to go back whence you came.
And your symbol glows as it always used to glow, with the light and power of Lathanda. The creature recoils for a moment, trying to resist, but your will is stronger. This ghost, specter, phantom shrieks in anguish, but immediately before your light begins to retreat rapidly, rapidly into the distance, dispersing. Ronaldo looks at the both of you and sort of just says,
"Oh my, okay. See? I told you, Roman, the ghost, she's been on the lake. Let's get off the lake now."
And you see me now staring straight at you. Those fierce, dark blue eyes. Even in this dark, that seems to glimmer with something. And I just say, "You."
And I look at you. "This is impossible. But it is. It is you, isn't it, Rorschach?" And I move to embrace you, but I don't know if you welcome that.
I flinch. I take a step backward. You see that I look unsure, scared. There is a slight spark starting to form in my hands again, that reddish, lightning-like fire.
"I'm still me. I'm still the one I used to be. You can trust me, like you trusted me back there. Back beyond the mists. Remember? We survived that, together."
I hold up my hand. Hold it out towards you so I see you. You better in the light, and you see my face more as well. It looks as if I've gained a decade. There is white streaks in the black hair, which is cut into a tidy hairstyle, but now obviously ruffled, neatly shaven, with a small trimmed pointy beard, as if I were some nobleman. And then I give a shiver, and the light winks out. Take me inside somewhere.
"All right. I have just the place. Come on, we have to get off the lake. She's going to come back."
Ronaldo looks a little confused for a moment, but then just nods, doesn't ask any questions, it seems, and aids you, Roman. Between the two of you, it is not too difficult to help Rorschach back to the shore, back into the town. Keep him warm to a point. I'm guessing, of course, that you head home. Yes, Roman?
Yeah, definitely. Back to the shrine.
Rorschach, with the aid of the one you think might be Roman, but you're not sure, and his friend, you are taken through a town. Okay, a town. Covered in snow. A fishing village, maybe, you think to yourself? Something like that? Wooden thatched cottages, sturdy housing. Outside the houses are nets and other things, although you don't really see anyone else on the roads. It makes sense to you, you guess. It is so, so cold out here. But eventually you are brought to a larger house. It seems made of good stone, good wood. You are brought inside. The doors are closed. You are still very cold, but immediately there is warmth. There are lamps here, lit with whale oil. After all, Roman, you know that even in East Haven they really are trying to keep down the consumption of wood. It is a limited resource these days. Whale oil burns just as well, even if it's a bit stale of smell. There is a fire lit with said oil. And your home is a modest place, but there is an area set aside with beds, about 10, set aside for when people need to come here for healing. You hear, from the living area, a voice that you know well, Roman, but to you, Rorschach, is unfamiliar. Strange, because Is that a voice of someone sounding compassionate? Caring? Roshak, you have not heard a voice like that for a very long time. It almost sounds like a dream. Unreal. Roman! Goodness me, by Lafander, the gods, where have you been? And she comes out and immediately looks alarmed, seeing you entering with Ronaldo and a stranger who looks in dire straits. What do you do, Roman?
Kaliana, it's good to see you again. I told you about what happened, about...
Roman, enough of your dilly-dallying! Get this poor person on the bed!
All right.
Don't worry, I'll go fetch the warm towels, and I'll get some... Goodness me! She quickly rushes forth into her area. But her attitude is a calm one. Already, Roman, you can tell her concern is on your charge. She could immediately imagine that they are suffering from frostbite, and she is eager to get the things needed to help. After all, she always tells you, the magic of the divine is not always enough. It is important for a proper healer to know proper medicine as well. Roshak, you're still not quite sure what's happening, but you are suddenly in a bed. It's a hard bed, but it's a bed. A woman is suddenly by your side, quite handsome in a way, maybe in her late 40s, blonde hair tied in a bun at the back of her head. You think you see a necklace. She is immediately putting a balm to your head, telling you to be calm.
It reminds me for a minute of someone I think I knew in a world that I don't know. My eyes twitch about. I seem to see movement in any shadowed corner. What are you doing?
I'm applying a balm to your head. You are suffering from severe frostbite. Oh, I almost want to say serves your right for being out in the cold with... Where is your proper clothing? Goodness me, tisk, tisk, tisk. It's all right, though. You're going to be fine. Roman, what are you doing? Come on.
Sure. I move up and I begin applying my healing magic, if I can, if it's needed. Otherwise, I help her out with warming him up and... Yes, trying to make him comfortable.
Ronaldo looks a little uncomfortable now that he's come here. He kind of humbly bows his head at one point and says, "Well, I won't let you keep you. Interesting evening. I hope your friend's okay. I won't stay in the way." And he just sort of makes his exit. He's not really one for helping out those in need when it comes to healing, at least. He's more a helping them out when they're in the bar later sort.
Stay safe, Ronaldo. Don't go back out on the lake, all right? You saw her. It's real.
Of course, but well, now you know. Hopefully you... I mean, that it looks like you did something. That was helpful. That's what priests are supposed to do, right?
Right. It's not going to last for very long. She'll be back. So stay home tonight, okay?
Oh, certainly. Will do. And he quickly leaves, leaving you... Right, Roman. What happened? Where did you find this poor soul? Are they on the road? Goodness me, why are they not wearing any clothing at all? This is completely inappropriate.
He appeared on the lake, out of the mists. The same mists that I emerged from those years ago. I told you, remember? This is my friend. This is impossible. I have no idea why he would be here. But then again, the gods work in mysterious ways. This is Roshak.
Are you sure? Hello? Roshak, can you hear me? Don't worry, you're going to start feeling better quite quickly. Hang on, I've got a little bit of magic left for today. And she then leans over and does a similar healing spell. But of course, Roman, her healing magic is a little more potent than yours. Roshak, you are filled with warmth. That feels so much better. You're warm. Your mind starts to clear. And you notice something. You can hear two people in front of you. You can hear the crackling of a fire, but otherwise, you can't hear anything else. There are no voices, none at all.
I listen. I hear the creaking of the wood in the house. I hear the wind outside, and the fire and the voices. It's so empty. It's so eerily empty. And it's warm. Is that actually... is this actually warmth? I look down skeptically at the thing, the brew, whatever it is that this woman has brought me. I'm not drinking anything unless you drink it first.
She tilts her head a little at you and smiles, shrugging, taking a quick sip, and then quite roughly pouring it down your throat. Normally you feel you'd have some time to react to this, but the truth is you're a bit too weak and it takes you off by surprise, but the tea tastes good. Warm.
I slump back onto the pillow.
Sorry to be rude, but I really don't have time for you doing the whole I'm not going to drink my medicine thing. You need it right away.
Have you actually healed me? I lift up an arm and I look for the pustules and the dark black marks that have been there all this time, but how does my arm look?
Fine. Not a single trace of any scar, at least not that sort of scar. Your old scars are still there, of course, but they've long since stopped hurting.
You've removed the disease?
Yes, I've made sure that you're back with us. You should start recovering quite quickly, especially with the help of magic, but again, bed rest is important. You're very lucky you haven't got severe frostbite.
I just slump back into the pillow. I feel like I don't have energy even to turn my head.
And something strange starts to happen, because as you are feeling that exhausted, something... you don't actually feel as exhausted as you did. Your energy's starting to come back. Quite quickly, actually.
I push myself up again. It's almost worrying. I feel wary. Is this an instinct? Is this a warning? And I look over to the man. It is... You're the priest from all those years ago.
It wasn't that long ago. It's only been a few. But you've aged. A lot more than I have. What happened to you?
I squint at him, and I see this is true. He looks like he hasn't aged a day. I look down into the floor, and I swing my legs over to sit on the side of the bed. The sword. Do you remember? Do you remember the sword? And I put my hands together, and in them forms the shape of the old sword of light. But it's a spectral vision of it, and I hold it with both hands. It's flickering, not in metal and light, but in a bluish, purplish mockery of it. I had the sword. I made a journey. I was needed to help. And I look up at you, and I hold out one of my hands towards you, towards your head, your face, and I'm casting phantasmal force. And I will describe what I'm doing if you allow me to do it, or otherwise you can try and resist it and see if you see it anyways. I'm doing something. You notice that there's magic flowing.
I am a bit concerned because the Rorschach I knew didn't cast spells. He was a warrior. But there's something about the fact that it is you that makes me feel like this is meant to be. I push down that fear, knowing that Lathander will protect me. Show me.
You feel a slight tickle in your head, and then the opposing wall suddenly opens up to a landscape of a swamp. You see the old Rorschach going with his sword of light. killing an undead being, stumbling, staggering, harvesting mushrooms. You see him reach a village. People run up to him. They're grateful that he's there. They ask him to come in and help them. There's been brigands plaguing the village. And he goes in. He kills people. And he is celebrated for it. But he's quickly falling ill. They ask for his advice on things, and he's brought to a sick bed. There is a woman there as well, taking care of him. They're trying to use magic, but nothing's working. But they still need him. He has so many good ideas for how to rule this country. It's growing from a village to a town to a city to a country. You see how the sword, the handle of the sword, is being put up on a shelf, along with the books that he was writing. Put to the side, he has other duties now. All this time from a sick bed, working. And then starts the attempts on his life. You see how groups of ragtag bands, magicians, the lone assassin skulking in the shadows. And all this happens, and you see a picture of a throne of Roshik slumping, boils covering his skin, trying to make his way up to the throne. And then it shimmers, the whole thing, and it fades. And you see Roshik sitting on the bed, his aged version, the short trimmed hair and the tidy beard, obviously made by some sort of servants in another world, another life. And I draw a long sigh.
And that is not all that you see. For you, Roman, knowing first of all that this is an illusion, you allow it yourself to focus on it, I feel, because you want to see what the illusion is, but you quickly, logically, in your brain know that that was simply something that was a spell of some kind. But some of those details, though. He was on a throne rusted, red, stained in blood. The people he was helping, they were covered in those boils. Their features were twisted and dark. The sky was eternally black. It seemed at times that Roshik was just trudging through a dark castle, a ruined castle, eating rotting food and smiling at servants, skeletal servants. It's almost quite nightmarish, this world he shows you. You wonder how he could have endured seeing such horrific sights every single moment of whatever was going on. But you notice that he doesn't seem to be reacting the same way you are.
Thank you for showing me that. So that was your life there.
I was a king, I say, and I look up at you defiantly.
I suppose you were.
They needed my help. I had servants. I was looked after.
Again, Roman, the images you saw. A man in a ruined castle, being served by skeletal, emaciated beings covered in plague.
You'll have to tell me more about that. Don't you think you need some rest?
I'm fine. How long? He said it hadn't been that long.
There's a sharp knock on the door. Bang, bang, bang. It's not an urgent knock. It's not a dangerous knock. It's almost a courteous knock, but it does sound urgent. Roman, what do you do?
I'll be right there, I say, and I start moving towards the door. I'm sure it's just someone coming to visit the shrine, I say, and I smile towards Roshik. It's good to see you again, I say, and I quickly turn to the door.
I don't feel so reassured, but something, I don't know. Is this... It's just different. I don't know. What am I wearing now? They've stripped me of my clothes.
Yes, you've been quickly given a very simple sort of white robe, sort of basic cloth clothing. You can see this woman is already setting aside from a wardrobe a thicker coat for you. Roman, you go to the door. Outside are 5 or 6 members of the militia carrying torches, looking at you with concern. One of them steps forward, bowing his head.
Ah, forgive us, Roman. You are needed immediately at the town hall. Some of the men have been hurt, and we really need your healing magics.
Of course, immediately. Kaliana, come on.
But wait, really at this time of night? Of course I'll come, but we have a patient.
I'm fine. If someone needs your help, they need it more than me.
Don't go anywhere, all right? I say to Roshik.
On the contrary, are you sure? I can't leave you here. Do you think you can walk? Hang on, I'll get you a coat. I don't want you out of my sight.
I think to myself how I haven't been able to walk in years. Not properly, not without help. I try to stand up.
It's a little uncertain at first, but there's a strength to your legs, a strength you remember. You used to be so much stronger than you are now. It's not quite all back yet, you don't feel. Maybe it won't ever all come back, but you are standing on your own.
I am standing. I'm standing, everything is gone. It's, in a way, it feels like I'm flying. And so I have to grip a nearby cupboard just to stable myself. What? Should I go with these people? Should I go with... Yes, I should probably... What can I... Do you have something that I could wear?
Kalina immediately thrusts to you a large, thick, woolen cloak and hood and a few other things. She starts piling them on you, and yes, these would be good. You begin putting them on. It's a little uncomfortable at first, but you think they'll be good for you. And she begins ushering you along with her, saying, well, I'm glad you can walk. Good, that's good then, because otherwise I wouldn't be leaving. All right, this better be good, Thompson. Speaker himself wants you all. We need people to heal. It's been a bit of an incident. We'll tell you all about it on the way.
And not to Roshik. Well, you heard the lady. Let's go.
Yeah. I finish putting my things on, or their things. I look over at the crumpled pile that were my own clothes. They look nothing that the fineries or the beautiful clothes that I remember myself having. And I follow them.
And the three of you are led out into the night once more, the wind picking up, led by torchlight to the town hall of East Haven.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played Icewind Dale, Rime of the Frost Maiden, for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. The music was created by Flowers for Body Snatchers, Ugasanye, Word Clock, and Metatron Omega, and was used with permission from their label, Cryochamber. Check them out at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for more dark ambient. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschober, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, and David Hogbarry for their generous support. And we would of course like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, this show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. May Lathander protect you and fill the world with light.